It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Aiden O'Connell will start for the Las Vegas Raiders.
So, we haven't talked too much about Las Vegas, and maybe you guys can help me out with. So just everything's good now, huh? I don't know if you saw, Jesse, maybe you saw it, Dame, you saw AP coming. He's like, Devontae Adams is a Raider. He's always been a Raider. He's always going to be a Raider.
So it sounds like as soon as that hamstring heals up, he's playing.
So it's just good. We're good now. All right. They are.
That hamstring ain't ever healing.
You think he's still getting traded?
Wasn't Schefter in spin mode on it was Sunday where Schefter was tweeting, oh yeah, expect things to ramp up because Devontae Adams, you know, as soon as he's back, they expect him to be back from that injury this weekend. Like, he was clearly working on behalf of Devontae's agent.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that. And they were saying he was trying to kind of get the word out that he's okay, just trade for him.
Yeah, guess what your boy said yesterday? Well, I don't expect anything to happen this week because Devontae's not playing. He said that this was yesterday. So from Sunday, things are ramping up. He's ready to go to Thursday. Well, I'd expect something to happen next week. Like, it's not going to happen this week, but I'd expect some next week, next Monday, the NFL resets. This is verbatim what he said. Next week, next Monday, the NFL is going to reset and the talks for Devontae Adams are going to pick up. All right, dude. Every day, every single effing day, Greeny says, and the trade that's going to reshape the NFL is next on Get Up. Every single day, he says that. And every single day, Schefter recites something that is coming from Devontae Adams' agent. And every day, he is proven wrong. No one ever looks back at what these insiders say and go, I wonder why he said that, because it's not true. His tone from Sunday to Thursday is so dramatically different. It's going to reset on Monday. And then when Devontae Adams isn't traded by next Thursday, he's going to come up with some other stupid-ass excuse as to why what he has said for the last 3 weeks is wrong, instead of just going on TV and going, hey, I'm here on behalf of Devontae Adams' agent. If anybody wants to trade for Devontae Adams, please call the Las Vegas Raiders.
That's all he needs to say.
These dudes are clowns, man. I swear to God, these dudes are clowns, especially Schefter. Schefter is king clown. Just awful.
Do you think...
just out here saying stuff.
Do you think Devontae stays as a Raider?
Well, there's no point in it. Like, for what?
I agree.
I don't like the Raiders screwed up. They have no plan. None whatsoever. And your plan, whether you like it or not, whether Antonio Pierce likes it or not, whether Tom Telesco likes it or not, no matter any general manager or coach, your plan has to start with your quarterback. And if you've got a playmaking wide receiver and you have a plan at the quarterback position, even if the plan isn't, hey, it's perfect this year, you know, it's the or it's not perfect this year, but we have a plan moving forward. Then, like, you can kind of deal with that, mm-hmm. and you talk about that with guys like Devontae Adams and Max Crosby and some of the pillars of your defense. You don't have any on the offensive end, mm-hmm. but you lay out what you're doing. They have nothing. They don't know what they're doing. They went and got Gardner Minshew, which was a mistake. They have Aiden O'Connell. I don't think that he's good, but I would have rather gone with him 4 weeks ago than Gardner Minshew. Now you got to do this charade with Aiden O'Connell to see if he's any good. Like, all right, like, fine. You're into the season. You're not in a horrible position into the season, but you've got to figure something out. He's getting his first start. You got the Pittsburgh Steelers who they're reeling a little bit. I don't know who's starting for quarterback for them. And you're still relying on your defense to get some things done. And you still lack offensive weapons.
I want to ask you something about the Steelers, but let me stick with the Raiders real quick. Do you now, maybe this is for a team that has a coach that you want there for the long haul. And I should, maybe that's how they feel about Antonio Pierce. Maybe they're like, we're committed to you for a 3-year rebuild or whatever the case may be. Even if I think, like, man, he might need to move on from him if this continues this way. But let's just say, for argument's sake, they're committed to him. Is it the worst plan to not go all in on a quarterback this past offseason? Like, go get you a little Gardner Minshew, a little random, and then if you're not any good, we're going to draft our franchise quarterback. But even if that doesn't happen, looking at the landscape, there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks available that we could bring in.
So what's the logic behind Gardner Minshew then?
You had to have somebody with Aiden O'Connell.
Why? I'm asking because if you already have in your head, our plan is either our true plan is either to draft a quarterback, our franchise quarterback, mm-hmm. or, and I think you're 100% right, there's going to be probably pretty good quarterbacks available this upcoming offseason. Why bother with Gardner Minshew?
Because
why not just let Aiden O'Connell succeed or fail?
Because I think when you're planning that out, I think maybe they thought Aiden would be able to win the job and Gardner would be the backup. I don't think they brought Gardner Minshew in there to be the starter in theory. They thought, like, well, maybe he could, but I think they really wanted Aiden to, or maybe the GM did. I don't know if AP did or what, but I think the thought process was bring Gardner Minshew in here to be the backup that he is. And if Aiden doesn't work, we got Gardner Minshew in here, you know, whenever that was, whether it's week one or week seven, you know, if it doesn't work, bring Gardner Minshew in here. We could still be, we could still have a professional quarterback out there. And I think that's just kind of where they're at. Like, they wanted Penix. They weren't able to maneuver after he wasn't available. So they didn't press the whole situation with a quarterback in this draft and this offseason. And now they're going to go into next offseason and next draft looking for the franchise guy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Could be a flawed train of thought. I ain't saying it's 100%, you know, the right move or the right execution of it, but that might.
You probably shouldn't have kept Devontae around for that.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, if that's how you're looking at the quarterback spot and all that, like, why do you have Devontae Adams around?
Yeah, that's the position that you can't. That's the position you can't do that with. Mm-hmm. Like, if you had a marquee running back, you have Max Crosby, you have those guys, you can navigate that a little bit. There's literally nothing you could do with Devontae Adams. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have a quarterback skilled enough to get him the ball in any position to succeed.
Right. Right. And he's not like neighbors with the Giants, like a young rookie. Like, yeah, you kind of hold on to him. Devontae's past that. Like,
yeah.
For your sake and for his sake.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah, for your sake and his sake, get him somewhere where he can be a factor in winning potentially. Like,
well, yeah. Well, for your sake.
Yeah.
Like, look, doing right by Devontae is nice, but for your sake, for your franchise, make a move that improves your ability to get better in the future. Right. Your draft pick under this regime your first round draft pick under this regime appears to be really good. Brock Bowers looks to be like everything every analyst said he was. Mm-hmm. He's a playmaker. He has the chance, you know, to bust games wide open. He has the chance. And, you know, we use this description when he was drafted to be a George Kittle type player. Mm-hmm. And he has that playmaking ability. You just don't have the a quarterback that could put you in a position to make a lot of plays. But with a rookie, that's not as big of a deal as it is with Davante Adams. So it looks like this current regime can draft well. You landed a really good player. A lot of guys said that was the steal of the draft, perfect for the Raiders. Great. Now you've got to you waited a year too long, or perhaps as you've tried to make the argument for a couple of times, maybe the move just wasn't there for them this offseason. Maybe they actually had sights on Dak Prescott. Maybe they thought the Cowboys weren't going to do what they did. Mm-hmm. Maybe they do have thoughts of Shador or someone in the draft or something along those lines. But you've got to see into the future. Mm-hmm. And you can have a success plan or a failure plan, or however you want to look at, you know, however you want to look at this. You have to have multiple plans. You have to have multiple ideas laid out for the future. And it doesn't feel like that the Raiders had that. Yeah. Because if they did, they wouldn't be here. It's seemingly like flat footed looking at this Davante Adams situation. Like, what do we do? This is what we want in return. Well, you were offered that by the New York Jets. Maybe you spitefully don't want to trade him to the New York Jets. I don't care. Like, but if you don't, you better get something in return for him.
It feels like that can't.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
That'd be the only deal that's out there. Like the Jets, even if you're like, oh, we don't want to, like you said, spitefully trade them to the Jets. All right, well, trade them to the Browns or the Steelers or something like that.
Yeah, it can't be.
Yeah, it's got to be a
new Buffalo has like, who is Buffalo's main wide receiver? They don't have one. Yeah, they don't have one. Like, it can't just be New York. Right. But those teams, I don't know, those teams might be looking at like, this price is going to get cheaper as the weeks go by.
That's true too.
The question is, does someone get desperate? I always felt like it was going to be the New York Jets, but does it wind up being someone else? We'll come back. Eddie Gonzalez talks. Oh, well, I don't think he's going to enjoy this conversation. But
successfully, we stayed away from the Raiders the last two. Maybe we just do it again.
So, yeah, we could maybe we talk some other week six storylines with our man Eddie. When D'Lo and KC return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC here on ESPN 1320. We got our main man, South Sac's finest, Eddie Gonzalez.
Just continue the conversation because I want to know what Eddie was going to say.
Let me lay it out. We were talking about J. Cole, and you know he had a little.
I can make it easy for everybody. KC hates Kendrick. It appears that Eddie hates J. Cole. So let's get to the bottom of this quick. And I hate Drake, so this is perfect. We're all here together.
Okay, get my arm right.
So, okay.
I love J. Cole. I know a little bit too much about this scenario, but I did hear, I don't think this is a big secret either. It's kind of like been speculated. Mm-hmm. But part of this is J. Cole has some records with Kendrick. Mm. He's just waiting to give us. And if you recall, they've never went bar for bar on a record. All the records they had, it's been a hook, it's been this and it's that. They swapped rapping on each other's beats, but they've never had the whole 32 from you, 32 from me that Drake and Cole just did twice. So that's part of it. I think that's a hanging thread here. But he tried to keep the peace in a genre where I grew up and we don't keep the peace. And now all this all blood being shed on them dudes is all just rapping. Like,
who?
It's
somebody,
fine, bro.
Somebody came out. Who was that? I think he's a rapper. I really don't even know who the dude was, but he's Kendrick's cousin or whatever. And he was basically saying, "Hey, he's like, man, it's all just entertainment or whatever." He said, it's all a big deal.
Drake liked the song. Like he liked the post with the song on it. So like, I don't think it's no like real animosity. Well, I won't speak for Kendrick because he's in like, yeah, a little animosity. But I don't think it's no real animosity. It's just for sport. But all them dudes just going to keep being successful and making money and being the guys. So it kind of don't matter. But I get what Cole's saying a little bit. But again, the sport of rap in me is like, yo, Nas and Jay pieced it up like 2 years later. It's fine. Like we could squabble a little bit and then go, you know?
I don't know if Drake and Kendrick going to piece it up.
Oh, I don't see that. I mean, that's one of them things too, where it's like them two, like Aubrey and Kendrick Duckworth might, but like the homies around them are like, I need a little smoke here. So you know how that goes. You get a little too many people in here.
Yeah. Yeah. Dame, your thoughts. You just out here. Like your thoughts, Dame.
Yeah. What is this?
On whether they piece it up? Oh, I mean, this is hip hop. It's whatever. Like I always like, you know, we all talk about like, oh, Kendrick hates Drake. Kendrick hates Drake. Well, like Kendrick was the one who said it's a friendly fade. You should keep it that way. He was the one who had the line about there's three goats left and I see them to him kissing, hugging on stage. You know, he was the one who uttered all of those lines. So, you know, he was a little venomous with some of his rhymes, but in the end, like Pac dropped Hit Him Up, but the thing behind the scenes was always Pac was trying to make money somehow.
Yeah, if you believe Valletta, the music was always, I'm just trying to sell these records. He went to Big's mama and said,
big as much. Yeah.
So I think it went a little far with Kendrick in a sense, like when he put Not Like Us out, that's a different language now. That's a little bit different than what it was before. But I don't know. Honestly, we're rehashing the old convo, but like I always thought Drake's beef was with everybody else, basically. It was like, okay, I'll fight Kendrick because I have to, but Ross and Weekend and Future and Metro, like I'm really upset with y'all. Like I thought you guys were my friends. So that seems like to be what it still is now.
I tell Damien this all the time, man. I get sad when I hear some of these collabs from these guys like Drake and Future, Drake and Rick, Drake and Kendrick and all this other stuff. It's like, damn, like these dudes make classic music together and it's just all gone. Like or it's not the music, but like the prospect of it ever happening again is all gone. I heard we was playing on 102.5 the other day. I think Complex was mixing it, but Drake and Rihanna, they gave us like three classics. We ain't never gonna see them two making music again. And I'm like, damn, like I guess you could be happy for the music that you got to hear, but and not trip off the music that will never happen. But that's what always trips me out is like, man, these dudes made classic. They made songs that were soundtracks for an era, basically. Mm-hmm. And this is
I think happening no more. Drake and Jay is the one I wonder. Like, I kind of wish they'd make another song. It don't feel like they will anytime soon.
That might be.
It's not like we got a bunch of Drake and Kendrick records, but we're really never getting that joint now. So.
Nah, that and Drake and Jay might be kind of bubbling under the surface.
Yeah, the Super Bowl and all the rumors come out and all that stuff, and who knows? Man. But they've been at it before, and according to them, they laughed about it. They made more records, it's whatever.
All these people laugh about it and make millions of dollars. That's what they all do.
It's no different. It's no different than sports. Like Eddie was laughing at KC. KC, for those on the radio, got his 49ers hat on. He got his 49ers hoodie on. And Eddie was laughing at him, and Eddie said, "You can't even be proud of that game last night, which is going to rehash."
You're right. Yeah, you're right. We fighting.
I was going to say that's going to rehash a whole conversation. But this whole thing about how like fans see sport versus how players see sport is no different than the music thing. Mm-hmm. Like
I get cussed out all the time because I'm like, oh, it's just not that deep to me anymore. I know I sound like a prude, but it's like I've watched dudes lose to game winners and go to the club with the dudes who hit the shot. Like,
that's right.
Once you see enough of that, it's like, and again, it's not that the games don't matter to them dudes and they're not playing hard, but they've learned to compartmentalize it, mm-hmm. you know? Like,
when you realize as a fan you care more than they do,
yes, that's exactly what it is.
You start to watch the game a little bit differently, or maybe digest the game a little bit differently.
Yeah, and like Casey, you know, as a sports parent, y'all play and go to so many games. Mm-hmm. They all just blur after a while.
Oh yeah,
like it's like obviously you care, and especially when you're a little kid, like you definitely care. But even as dad, like you're like, I can't get too wrapped over this. We're gonna do another tournament next week. Probably win another medal. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So imagine that times 20 years.
Yeah,
and it's like, dog, we flying to Miami tomorrow. Like, it is what it is.
That's what they do. It's a visual, but this when they're center court and Tiger, we going to Tiger, right? Tiger, yeah. Tiger, I'll see you there in a second.
it's funny. Like, I feel like the leagues are a little more separated than people think. A lot of times these dudes only see each other literally when they play each other, and that's when they get to catch up or in the same city or whatever. But at the same time, yeah, some of that animosity is just not there anymore. We grew up on that, so it's like, oh, you kind of wish that was there. Mm-hmm. But I hate the idea that means they're not playing as hard. Yeah, they're playing hard, too. Like, they're still out there to get it.
Yeah.
It cracked me up the other day in the Kings game. It was Kings-Warriors, and Buddy was doing the thing where he was talking to somebody, and he was covering his mouth, and it's like, Buddy, no one can understand what you're saying. You're not handing in front of you. What are you doing? You could just talk normal, and ain't nobody going to be able to figure out what you're saying.
Yo, that always killed me in baseball, too, because it's like, you think the dugout's over there going, oh, he's saying hi and outside. I can see it. Like,
you know the story. You know how that started. 1989 NLCS, they go to the mound. And I think Greg Maddux was the pitcher. And they don't do anything. They're just talking. And whether it's true or not, Will Smith is on deck, and he's about to go up to the plate. And he said he read Maddux's lips. He said, we're going for a fastball. And he hits a grand slam. And they say that's when, because he was so boisterous after the game. So, yeah, I read his lips. I saw exactly what he was going to throw me, and I took it out into the right field seats. And after that, that's when they started covering their mouth and all that. That's the
– What up, you was on deck, and you see the pitcher say fastball. Great job.
I know I couldn't. I know I couldn't see it. I know that much. I don't know what kind of super senses these guys have, but I couldn't see it.
Who brought it to basketball? Was it Bron? Was Bron, Bron who yeah. brought the – When Bron was the one.
Bron and D Wade, you know they Tiger. With Tiger, big dog. No, I got to check with Savannah, but no, she's going over there.
Oh, you're crazy. That's not what LeBron was saying. LeBron was saying, "Get your ass here next year, man. We're gonna go in."
And Jaylen Brown learned the hard way. Like, I got to keep doing it, even in summer league. You can't even
sit
on the sideline and not do it. So
now, apparently, I said Will Smith. Obviously, I meant Will Clark, but Will Smith might have done it too. I don't know.
I'm sitting there like, what Will Smith? Like,
I was like, how many players named Will Smith are there?
Will Clark was the one. The thrill, man. Come on, stop playing with us out here. So NBA season is here. Oh no, that's what I wanted to ask you first. You're in New York City. The Yankees are going to the ALCS. The Mets are going to the NLCS. And the Liberty are in the WNBA finals. Mm. It's going crazy in New York right now, huh?
It's on fire. You know, like, I kind of paint the picture. Like, sometimes you get on the train and there's a game, like, it's 100,000 people in there. Like, Yankee fans getting ready to go to the Bronx, stuff like that. That happened to me last week. It was like they was getting ready for the game. Or even, like, the Mets are playing out of town and it's hella Mets fans on the train because they're going to bars and stuff. They're about to go kick it. So it's like, it's definitely an energy in the city. You could feel it when the sports teams are thriving. I think the Liberty is, like, you know, running it right now.
I was about to ask you, like, are they everybody's kind of focused right now? Obviously, you got the Yankees and the Mets. That's baseball in New York. But it seemed like New York City loves the Liberty. They love
They love the Liberty. And it's funny because the Nets are kind of like the stepchild at that same building. But the Liberty are embraced as the New York Liberty, and they had their own energy. And they've had that for a few years now. So it's exciting to see that. But shout out to Nafisa Collier, my girl Fee. Legendary night last night. Her and Courtney Williams, like, legendary night for them. And it's like, you know, I tapped in with her after. I've been hitting her during the playoffs. Like, yo, keep going. A couple more wins, blah, blah, blah. People forget she just had a baby a couple years ago. You know what I mean? And she bounced right back and is right back at it and looking like the best player in the world. And you hit a shot like you hit last night, overtime on the road in the finals. You know, she put the picture up on IG today. Like, that's the type of stuff. Like, that lives on forever. You know what I mean? Yeah, and the picture looked like the Jordan last shot joint. Like, she, you know, pulling up mid-range over Jonquil, who's bigger than her, longer arms, drained it. One of the best games I've seen in a long time, period. Either league, any basketball, period. So, shout out to everybody on the court. Sabrina, my girl Sabrina, had some big shots late. Jonquil Jones, 5 points overtime. Just, you know, overtime in the finals. You can't hit that.
They made Sabrina work.
Oh, my.
And it took like 26 shots last night to get those 19. I think she had 18 or 19.
Yeah, she, you know, she's up and down like that sometimes, but her game has evolved so much. The way she's added the floater, added the mid-range, and what she does, like, upward trajectory for her. And it's, you know, if you, people forget, she missed her whole rookie year. It was in the bubble. She turned her ankle immediately. Mm-hmm. She didn't have a couple off seasons for a while, and now she's finally getting to grow her game, and she looking like, you know, she's an MVP candidate this year. It's hard to win an MVP with Asia Wilson in the league as well, but, you know, who knows what next year looks like if she gets even better.
So, like, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, maybe even on Wednesday, people, you know, I was saying Liberty going to win or whatever the case may be, and they're just on a mission, and they still might. I'm still picking them. Nothing has changed. But one of the things people were saying was, they're like, oh, yeah, they're going to – Elaine's going to have Sabrina in cuffs. They're going to have her struggling. I was like, nah, y'all bugging. Sabrina about to go to work. Game one, I ain't going to say they had her on lock, but they make her work.
They frustrated her. Yeah.
And that's a continuation of what they did in the regular season. And I don't know. They may have a blueprint to, at the very least, just making things difficult for her.
Yeah, and you can see the Liberty were trying to counter that. They're trying to rely on Stewie a lot. She had her own issues last night as well, dealing with Fee. Jonquil had a great game, but, you know, their dribble drive game for the Liberty is huge for them. It gets the ball moving, gets the defense rotating, and that all relies on Sabrina. Now, all that said, for the tougher game that she had, she was 8 of 26. Stewie was 6 of 21. They lost by 2 points in overtime and missed the layup. You know what I mean? So it's like they had to, have a miraculous 18-2 run to be a game. Now, credit to the Lynx, obviously, but if you're the Liberty, you feel like, hey, we can turn this around. We can handle this, you know? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Lynx can feel the same way, though. Like, hey, we can't. We have the formula. We've shown now in five games through this season, we could beat them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can't get off the starts like that. Mm-hmm. And I think weird. Both teams probably feel pretty good about where they're at going into game two with no one overreacting either way. But both teams got to feel really good about the position they're in. Minnesota might feel a little bit better because they just won a game on the road. But New York should still feel pretty confident about where they're at.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great series. I went into it thinking, oh, quick work for the Liberty. But, you know, That Lynx team ain't no joke, man. Mm-hmm. And they got what I think is the best player in the series and maybe the best player in the world. I know it's a little controversial these days, but
about one of the best coaches in the game, too.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, they if they start bombing from three, it's a whole different team. It's a whole different thing. So I'm excited to watch these games, man. I know people complaining like, oh, they're dealing with football and all this stuff. But, like, I make time to watch these games. I'm excited to watch these guys.
For sure. Yeah. NBA preseason is here. What do you look at in the preseason? I mean, it's the NBA preseason is I've always I shouldn't say always, but I just kind of realized it's obviously different than NFL preseason where the best players don't play at all. Like, and the coach is like, nope, we're not playing, it don't matter. Whereas in the NBA, like, you see your guys playing 25 minutes or something like that as the preseason goes along. Is there anything that you take away from preseason basketball at all? Outside of the Suns running a three-man weave in the middle of the game?
I think for me, it's seeing how teams integrate new pieces. And to talk about the hometown team, watch DeMar work off the handoff, some Sabonis, and even doing that at the elbow and finding his space to get his buckets, like that little stuff. You kind of get little hints at how they want to utilize things because they're practicing. Like in a fanciest, shiniest way possible, they're practicing things they're going to utilize in the season. So it's that for me. I think rotations and stuff like that. You watch like the Lakers and you're curious, are they going to play Bronny? When does he come in? And I think, you know, there's, we call it nepotism or whatever, but like, he's going to get a chance to play with his dad in some way, shape or form, and then make his way to the G. But you look at like Dalton Connect, how often is he coming in? They got a lot of guards there. Is Max Christie playing more? On and on and on. And then, you know, for me, I'm obviously watching the Suns too. And it's the same thing. Who's coming off the bench? How are they using their rookies? Who are they giving time to? Things of that nature. And you know, the Suns are shooting threes way more than they shot last year. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's clearly an emphasis, stuff like that. Those are the things I look for. I think you get a little more energy and from especially in the beginning of the games as those guys are kind of into it and they're seeing guys they recognize. But you get to that third, fourth quarter, it's like, all right, you know, we're watching the youngins now at this point.
Right.
Is there a team that you're outside of Phoenix and Sacramento, obviously, is there a team that you're that you've got a curious eye on?
I think Minnesota and Memphis. I'm watching both of them just like for entertainment value. Like, I want to see how good they're going to be. Obviously, and I think they're both contenders, but, you know, them two young bucks they got over there with Ant and Ja, like, those are two of my favorite players in the league. And they play the style of basketball that, like, I enjoy. I always tell people I feel like the best version of basketball is like that bouncy ball handler in high school who's just dominating everybody, dunking, hitting threes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Those dudes still do some of that in the league. And so they're just the most fun to watch for me. So those two teams for sure, out west. I think out east, I'm also curious about the Knicks. And I still enjoy watching Boston. Like, mm-hmm. they're still a fun team. I like seeing my curiosity with them is like, what is the evolution for JT? Like, is he going to add some more playmaking to what he does? Is he going to play the block more? Like, is he going to work post more? Like, how is he going to take the next step for what it is? I talked to him before the season and said it might be his revenge season after all this summer and everything that happened. And it seemed like they was approaching it. Like, his trainer, Drew Hanlon, has talked about it. Tatum himself has talked about being motivated. So, you know, I kind of watching teams that have guys that I like watching play. And that's a group right there for sure.
Have you watched Starting Five yet?
I saw a little bit of it. It's not a thing, but I saw a little bit of it early. I saw a couple episodes early.
I'm sorry. My bad. No disrespect. No disrespect. I forgot who I was talking to. My bad.
I haven't got all the way into it, but what they had tipped me off to going in was like, yo, if you love Ant, you're going to love this.
And so, oh, man.
I want to say, and I've seen people mention it, Ant had his moment with JT on there.
Yeah.
People forget he dropped 40 on him like a month later and sent them packing. So JT got his get back, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I got to really sit down, lock in with it and really give it some time. I've been catching up on my shows, man. I've been catching up on my Chicago Fire. I like a lot of them, like procedurals.
My mom loves all the Chicagos. Like, she's tapped into all the
911, like all the little first responder shows that get me. I don't know how, but I'm catching up on all them joints. SVU is back. Like,
You can't go wrong with that.
I've never seen none of those.
Oh my goodness! Come on, man.
Yeah, SVU. You just turn on USA right now.
I mean, I've turned the TV on, have seen SVU a million times, but I've never seen any of this Chicago.
Chicago pretty dope. It's pretty good.
I started it on a plane one day and got hooked. Was flying like I think I was flying to LA and it was like, man, I got landed in LA. It's like, yo, what app is that on? I gotta keep watching.
That's one of the most dangerous things in the world to do is to start a show on a plane. Cause it's like you just need a microcosm of entertainment and man, yep. that could hook you.
Yeah. And it got me. That's exactly what happened.
So I asked about Starting Five because I haven't seen it all. Dame's watched it all, but I'm going through it piece by piece. And Jason Tatum is one of my favorite players in basketball. I love JT. You brought up the Celtics and everything. And Dame, I think you kind of said this. You didn't really elaborate on it, but I kind of see it. Jason Tatum is a guy, it feels like, and he's a young guy too, but it feels like he's a guy who's really good at basketball, potentially the best. He knows he's really good. He knows he's potentially the best. And he thinks because of that, he's supposed to carry himself a certain way. And we like just want Jason, Jason, you don't have to cosplay being the best player in the world. Just be Jason Tatum. Not that he's being fake, but do you guys understand what I'm saying? Like he's almost playing a role, it feels like.
Oh, yeah, that's 100% it.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. And like, that's my guy. I rock with him. We talk pretty often. And like, I was talking to some people in media over the summer, and this was the summer of Ant in a lot of ways, and the summer of his kind of evolution and the season really with his sneakers and just his profile just raising all summer. And it was like, Ant has that like urban appeal that JT doesn't necessarily. And JT's from St. Louis, like he's from there too. Like, so it's like, but Ant projects it in a way that feels natural and people gravitate towards. Whereas JT is more calm, collected dude, just a chill dude.
Right.
So it comes off as fake, I guess. But that really is just him. Like, he's just modest, chill guy. Like, literally, he's just a dad, in all the best ways possible. So I think on the court, you see a little bit more of that kind of energy and that tension that he has. And he's letting guys know. I haven't seen the entire series to know, like, does that come out more? But I think, he is that guy. Like, I don't think he's fake, but I get how he comes off that way. Like, oh, he's acting out the way he's supposed to be or whatever.
Right, Every centerpiece of the show has a story. Like, Domas is kind of the underdog, right? He's the guy, not even the underdog. He's the guy who he's really, really good and he doesn't get enough attention. Jimmy, he knows how good he is and he wants all of the attention. LeBron is the greatest to ever do it. Anthony Edwards might be next. Mm. And then there's Tatum, who's like, he's just a nice guy who's really, really good at basketball. And he's been put in this position where, they're telling him he needs to do this and he's playing for this storied franchise and he has to be great. And he talks about his love of Kobe and that's made fun of and all of these different things where you just look at him and you go, this kid is just really great at what he does. He doesn't have the personality that Anthony Edwards has. He's not the greatest player of all time yet, like LeBron James is. He's not underappreciated like Domantas Sabonis is. And he's not as cocky as Jimmy Butler is. Mm-hmm. He's just a different guy, kind of all by himself. And thank God for this series because it made it so much better. The ending is him winning the title. Spoiler alert. The ending is him winning the title. It's like, man, this works.
He's you said it perfectly, Dan. He's nice and respectful at all times. Like, that's what JT seems. Just very nice. And there's nothing wrong with that. But he's just nice and respectful at all times.
And that's really him. Mm-hmm. And that's really him. This is a dude, like, to share a few stories. Like, he's tapping in with me during the playoffs. Like, yo, you finna come out here? Like, let me know, blah, blah, blah. Like, that type of stuff. He's, I'm watching the series. He's got all his friends from way back around him. He's making sure everybody's taken care of. And, like, look, you can make it like, oh, that's easy. Everybody does that. But that's underrated because everybody doesn't do that. You know what I mean? He kept his family private. I know we see his son all the time. But everything else he got going on, he's keeping private. He's just a modest dude. He just so happened to be one of the best players in the world.
I think that was the first time I'd ever seen his dad. I don't think I'd ever seen Tatum.
Yeah, dad. And his pop is like a coach back in St. Louis. Yeah. Everybody knows him, and he's like, he's still around. He's still coaching kids. So it's like, he's keeping all that tucked. And the thing about Tatum is, you know, I always say the MVP is a narrative award. And like, he's kind of running out of narratives that can even get him that. He already was 30 points a game, best team in the league. He's already like, he plays both sides of the court. I told him at one point, look at all that you've done. You've been bumping with gods on the court since you got here. Rookie year, you going game seven with Bron, like you're having moments. You've won your entire career. You've played on both sides. You continuously got better. And still we're like, ah, whatever. You know what I mean? So it's like, at some point, it's just not you. Like, you've done all the stuff. Mm-hmm. And now you win the title, and we still going, ah, whatever. And he led his team in points, rebounds, and assists in the finals and for the entire playoff. So, like, all right, what more do you need at that point? So I get why he's just, like, off it at this point. Yeah.
If a memory serves, like, Bron embraced him that after that series and was like, yeah, that's the man right there. Mm-hmm. That could have been his kiss of death.
Because you know, and Kevin did it too after the last Olympics. Mm-hmm. Remember, Tatum was second in scoring off the bench for the U.S. team. The 2020 Olympics, but happened in 21. And Kevin was like, "Yeah, this is him from here on out. Like, I'm passing the baton." Said it out loud. So like, he's been embraced by them dudes. And you know, I can say from even from our conversations, like that's what he cares about most. Yeah. The media is whatever. Mm-hmm. The fans is obviously cares about the fans in Boston, but the actual Hoopers have embraced him as like, you're here, you know?
That's my dog,
man. I'd love LeBron. LeBron and KD's love more than Woody Page's.
That's my dog, Jason Tatum.
We appreciate you, bro, man. Thank you, as always.
Hey, man. Thanks, guys.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Next All Friday, right. man. We got a guy.
Put us here every Friday. I'm dealing with KC. We'll come back. James Hamm joins us at the top of the hour on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Bow, 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 bow. D'Lo and KC on this Friday afternoon, man. Kings play tonight, so that's going to be a good thing. You check that out on NBA TV. Kings Warriors at the dental office, a.k.a. the Chase Center. You think the Chase Center going to be sold out tonight? It might be.
Oh, that was a serious question? I don't think so, sir, no. No, I don't. Unless Kings fans decided, you know what, let's go out on a Friday night. Yeah, other than that, no.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so Kings Warriors tonight at the Chase Center. Real quick, because we got James Hamm coming up in about 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Did want to look at week six, though. And we kind of touched on it the other day. Now that the Niners have won, I can fully enjoy this game, but I'm really excited to see.
I'll have a co-host on Monday, so that'll be nice.
I'm really excited for this football team Ravens game. I think that I wish I could be in Baltimore for that one. That's gonna be a great game.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one. That's definitely the highlight of the weekend. There's some other stories to follow for sure, but like from just a casual football standpoint, hanging out, watching the red zone, putting another game on the multi-view, like that's the one. You gotta have that one up. Jaden has turned out to be, I mean, just incredible.
Dynamic.
And then you got, you know, Lamar, two-time MVP. You got the football team who might, I don't know, like I'm buying into them. Mm-hmm. And I think the Ravens have come around, but it's Gorilla Monsoon here with the irresistible force meets the immovable object. Now, neither one of them, they're not necessarily playing on that level, but I think the Ravens have come back around. Can they keep things going against the football team mm-hmm. who I think is establishing themselves as a really good football team? Mm-hmm. And the thing that will put a true stamp on that is beating the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. So the storylines in this game are... Yeah, there's plenty of storylines in this one.
You know, I'm a little old school, and maybe this is just like this doesn't have any bearing. But the football team, great offense. Jaden is phenomenal. He's the truth. Great passing team as well. But I do think there is something to teams like that being super explosive and borderline unstoppable offensively. Early in the season when the weather's great and before teams get enough film on them. Usually, if they want to sustain that level of high-level offense, you got to have a running game. I'm a big believer. And then you talk about being on the East Coast where elements are real, like rain, snow, cold weather, all this other stuff. I am a believer in that. I haven't seen anything statistically that necessarily bears that out, but it just, you know, they're going to have to establish the running game a little bit more and get more creative and not just say we're going to pass the ball all over the place. But I do think they're a legit team. Like, I think they're the best team in the NFC East. I think they're going to win that division. But I want to see how that offense operates as the season goes along and the weather changes a little bit.
So, you know, Arizona can stay in the mix here.
I can.
With this game against Green Bay.
And they'll be part of the tie, right? Or I think they'll be in first place.
3-3, right? Plus, yes. They have a win over the 49. That would put them in first place, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they'll be in first place. They'll be in first place with that one because they didn't play Seattle yet. So, yeah, they'll be in first place.
And they got the Packers who I don't know.
I don't either.
The Packers are – I just got to – I don't know. Jesse ain't talked all day. Jesse, anybody
Jesse got mad? He got mad at Bob Costas. That's the
time. Oh, that's right. That's right. He did. You're right. My bad, Jesse. I forgot.
I'm getting these videos up right now, too.
You what?
So I'm getting these videos up right now, too.
All right. My bad, Jesse. I just, you know, I've been home for 2 days. You ain't talked to me. That's my bad. All right. But, go back to cutting videos.
But yeah, Arizona.
I don't know what to do with the Packers, though. That was the point. Like, if Arizona wins, I wouldn't be surprised. If the Packers win, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know what to do with Green Bay yet.
I don't either. They were able to survive while Jordan Love was out, and then he comes back, and they get beat up by the Vikings. Now, the Vikings might be the best team in football, but, you know, they lose that game. I watched that game with them and the Rams. They handle business. They handle business. But I also don't know. The Rams are.
I watched that game too.
Huh?
I said, unfortunately, I watched that game too.
That was your home game. That was
my Disneyland game.
That was your home
game. Until I figured out how to connect the phone to the TV.
But you look at a game like that, and while the Rams aren't very good, I do think they're well coached. So there's a level of preparedness that they're always going to have in those type of games. So I don't want to hold against Green Bay that they didn't blow them out or anything, because that's a well-coached team, a well-prepared team. So I'm not sure what to make of Green Bay either. Are you comfortable saying that we will learn a lot about both of these teams in this game, Cardinals and Packers?
No. I'm not comfortable saying we'll learn a lot about them. I think if I were – I'm more likely to lean Green Bay than Arizona in that one. So Arizona, I'm still like, I know they beat the 49ers. Like, I don't like the, did the Cardinals win or did the 49ers lose? Like, I don't like that type of stuff, but 49ers did a lot to make sure that Arizona won.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? But in credit to the Cardinals for taking care of business and doing what they had to do. I'm not quite sure where they're at as a football team. I like some of the components that they have. I like some of the weapons that they have. Obviously, particularly talking about Marvin Harrison, and I still kind of believe Kyler Murray has some things that you need to be afraid of. But from a coaching perspective, from a talent perspective, I do think that Green Bay is better. Arizona wins. I'll answer your question a different way. Arizona wins this game. It's got my attention. Gotcha. Green Bay wins this game. Like, okay, I'm still kind of watching you. I'm not sure. You're in a tough division, but I got my eye on you.
Arizona, I've seen all their games this year, and they're okay. Like, they're not a bad team. Like, I don't think they're a bottom five team or anything like that. But I also don't think they're a playoff team. You know, they're a team that – you got a playmaker like Kyler Murray. You got Marvin Harrison Jr., and they're dangerous, and they're going to be dangerous when you play them. Like, you can't sleep, or you can't turn the ball over a bunch of times. But I do think, after watching the 49ers game, after watching the Lions and football team game against the Cardinals, if you don't, and once again, I don't want to be disrespectful because I think they're an okay team, but if you don't beat yourself, you can beat the Cardinals. And what I mean by that is you don't turn the ball over, you know, you don't just like kind of like they need you to make mistakes for them to win, not to be competitive, like, because I think they'll hang around games regardless, but to ultimately beat good teams, they need them to do some damage to themselves. And that's kind of who they are. I think the Cardinals will be about a 500 team. And I'll feel that way about them regardless of what happens on Sunday. Just from
seeing. We don't have to do too much on this one. It's a week six storyline, but you know, we could, you know, spend 5 minutes on it Monday. You've got anything on this Bills Jets game? Like, the Jets made it's Bob Saleh's fault. They fired him. They wound up making a change at the coordinator, or at least at the play calling position anyways, which is what a lot of conspiracy theorists thought Aaron Rodgers was trying to avoid by allegedly trying to get Robert Saleh fired. But it wound up happening anyway. So you got to kind of throw that out the window a little bit. There's a lot of changes to this coaching structure for the New York Jets, and they're going against the Bills team that's reeling a little bit.
Yeah, this is a game where both of these teams need this win in a bad way. Like, the Bills, they've got to kind of stop this avalanche that's taken place the last couple of weeks. They've got to find a way to get a win. And the Jets, once again, just like I said with the 49ers, it's too early to say your season is on the line, especially with the kind of division that you're in. Like, there's nobody running away with the division. But you fired your coach, changed the OC. Like, how do you come out of that?
You're going to look funny if you lose. Yeah.
Like and winning doesn't save your – like, it doesn't mean anything for the future of your season, but it'll look a lot worse if you lose than it will good if you win, if that makes any sense. You winning is just kind of more of a relief at this point. But I actually think the Jets are going to win that game.
And really?
Yeah, I think they're going to win that game. At home, Monday night.
Kenny Greenberg over here loves him, the New York Jets.
Man. Pretty desperate. I think
the Bills got to be a little bit desperate.
Yeah,
no,
they're very desperate. They're very desperate. Yeah, but much like the 49ers, though, the season's not over. Bills will be 3-3. You know, and it's a game that you want to win. It's not a must win. That makes sense.
All right, we can talk about that on Monday. Just real quick, everybody involved. You see the Boozer twins picked their school.
I didn't. Where are you going to? Durham?
Yeah, they're going to Duke. Yeah.
Ooh.
Duke. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, man, buddy. Continuing the legacy.
Yeah, man. I can't wait
them
till.
Them kids are good, man. Them boys are really good.
Them boys can hoop. They can hoop. Yeah, that's going to be pretty dope. And when they come to the nest, I can't wait to watch them play. Because, you know, Sac State be Division I, you know, Pac-12, ACC, whatever. Pac-12, ACC challenge. You know, Boozer Twins come to
home
the
home
nest.
Home and home, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.